The date is June 28th, 2002, and we're watching Mr. Deeds. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Emilio to my Deeds.
Very, very sneaky Stuart. Colin Stewart right here. There we go.
And so this week we're looking back at June 2002 when the movies in theaters were Scooby-Doo, Lilo and Stitch, The Bourne Identity, Juana Man, and of course our movie for today, Mr. Deeds, which earned $171.26 million on a $50 million budget.
Double this money. There you go.
Triple.
Oh yeah, 150 million. Oh yeah, that's right.
171 on 50, yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Sorry, math is not my strong suit. Anyways, the spoilers.
Math.
Yeah, the spoilers are not going to be sneaky in this movie. They're going to be coming at you full force. So if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please press pause, go watch it, and come back and hear what we have to say.
So the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie is, "Well, I've got three. The first is he's teaching high society some small town values."
Yep. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that works, yeah. Second is small town kid, big time right hook.
I like that one. That one pulls interest.
Yeah. And the third, I mean, Adam Sandler, you know, it's been known on this show that I have posters on my walls as decorations, have for a long time. Adam Sandler movies have made their way through my decorating quite frequently, and I still have this poster up, the Mr. Deeds poster. So this is the one that I've seen on that poster. Don't let the fancy clothes fool you.
I mean, I like irony, so sure.
Yeah. It works really well when you see him on the poster a hoodie and sweatpants. You know, the Adam Sandler uniform. But that may not be the best description of this movie, so let's go to Colin for the 60-second synopsis.
All right, here we go. After media mogul Preston Blake dies while summiting Mount Everest, his distant nephew from Mandrake Falls, Longfellow Deeds, stands to inherit his company, Blake Media, as well as his $40 billion fortune. Looking to secure a voting stake in the company for his own designs, Blake Media CEO Chuck Cedar flies to Mandrake Falls to inform Deeds of his great fortune and bring him back to New York in order to keep him out of the media while the company lawyers iron out a contract for Cedar to buy all Deeds shares. Meanwhile, the news of Blake's heir is the talk of the town, and floundering tabloid news reporter Babe Bennett hatches a plan to go undercover as virginal school nurse Pam Dawson in order to seduce Deeds so that she can get the inside story for her bosses at Inside Access. At first, Deeds struggles to acclimate to life in the big city, but with the help of his sneaky butler Emilio, he uses his small-town charms to win people over, and having found the love of his life in Pam, begins to envision taking over his late uncle's empire and making the move to New York. Cedar, who is less than enthused about Deeds' change of intention, receives a tip-off from Babe's co-worker Marty about her ruse, and exposes her lie to Deeds just as he's about to propose. Brokenhearted, Deeds sells his shares to Chuck, donates his fortune to the United Negro Fund, and returns to his pizza shop in Mandrake Falls. Babe, who has fallen hard for him at this point, follows him home and attempts to convince him that even though her name was fake, her love was real, but Deeds just can't look past it. Chuck convinces the Blake Media investors to sell off the company, and despite an impassioned speech by Deeds, which momentarily turns the tide, uses his controlling stake to push it through, until Babe arrives to save the day, revealing that Emilio is actually Preston Blake's son and his rightful heir. Emilio promptly fires Cedar, quashes the sale, and grants Deeds a cool billion for being a stand-up guy. Seeing the good in her, Deeds gives Babe a second chance, and they presumably live happily ever after.
Wrapped up in a bow.
Yes.
So, we have only done one Adam Sandler movie so far, which I find shocking, But back when we did Happy Gilmore, I don't know if I discussed how much I loved Adam Sandler at that time. I mean, I just talked about my poster, of which I have a Happy Gilmore, a Mr. Deeds, a Wedding Singer, and do I have one more? I think I had a Big Daddy at one point.
A Click?
No, I don't have a Click. No. But, yeah, I really loved Adam Sandler. I still love Adam Sandler. I mean, I enjoy his turn in Uncut Gems. I'm an Adam Sandler fan. He's right in my wheelhouse. Now, one thing I found interesting about this is you were the one that said, hey, let's do Mr. Deeds. And it's kind of like we go from Happy Gilmore and skip over all his young stuff and go right to Mr. Deeds, skip over Little Nicky and Waterboy and Wedding Singer and Big Daddy. So why right to Mr. Deeds?
Well, I mean, I would have done any one of those movies. But I think for me, Mr. Deeds is, I don't know, I think it's the first Adam Sandler movie that I ever saw. Definitely the first one I saw in theaters well. And so I think for that, like, 2002 was, like, kind of where I started going to, like, my friends started having cars. And so I went to the movie theater more on my own impetus at that point. I wasn't, like, beholden to my parents and that sort of ride, thing. And so, I don't know. Mr. Deeds has always just been one of those movies that, I think if we were to actually, like, catalog all the movies we've done, we would find that the movies that are, like, 2001 to 2002 are the movies that sit, like, right at the forefront of my mind as being, like, those were my movies. I put this movie...
Those are the movies, like, that define Colin.
Yeah, like Joe Dirt, Fast and the Furious, Road Trip, like Mr. Yeah. Deeds. Mr. Deeds was probably the third DVD I owned after those two.
Okay, right on.
And so, yeah, I don't know. This movie, whenever I think of Adam Sandler, I, for whatever reason, this is the movie that always, it kind of sticks to the fore for me.
Yeah. I don't even know which one of his that is for me anymore. I mean, it's definitely, I'm definitely not thinking Grown Ups and I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. I'm not thinking, you know, Jack and Jill era Adam Sandler. I mean, for me, it floats around Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, you know, and, you know, his romantic movies. Cuts off after 50 First Dates. 50 First Dates is the end of super charming Adam Sandler.
Yeah, see, I was going to say for me, Mr. Deeds, like, I was just looking at his filmography, and I think that Mr. Deeds is probably the end.
Yeah.
I was never really a fan of 50 First Dates, but I love Big Daddy, love The Wedding Singer, The Waterboy, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison. I actually don't mind The Longest Yard, but...
I like The Longest Yard.
I don't really consider that, like, I know he's in it, but it's not really an Adam Sandler movie to me.
It's a very ensemble movie. Yeah. Even if his name's the one at the top of the poster.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's jump into Mr. Deeds, directed by Stephen Brill, who we just talked about with Mighty Ducks, produced by Sidney Gainis and Jack Giaraputo. So there we go.
That one. That one.
Written by Clarence Buddington. Kelland, who has a short story called Opera Hat, Robert Riskin, who wrote the original film Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, and Tim Herlihy. Interestingly, I did know that this was a remake, but for the first time ever, and I literally finished it just before we started recording, is I watched the original film Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, which is a 1936 Frank Capra film starring Gary Cooper as Longfellow Deeds. So the name Longfellow does come from the original, which I guess, you know, knowing that this was a 1936 movie originally, probably makes perfect sense right off the bat.
Is the original one like what's the genre? Like, is it still comedy?
It is a comedy, but it's 1936 comedy, so it's very stiff comedy.
Okay.
Like, because back in 36, it's like you either had the Marx Brothers or, you know, like the Three Stooges, that kind of comedy, or you had this kind of this fast talking kind of comedy. Right? Yeah. So he Gary Cooper is a very likable Mr. Deeds. I will tell you that. It's interesting seeing how they have adapted certain things. And I feel like one thing that this as a remake really falls short on is the love story. I got to say, right off the bat, I'm not a big fan of the love story. It doesn't feel sincere. Whereas now that I have the original as context, it's like, oh, okay, I can see more how they fell in love in the original.
Is the original the same, like, it's the same premise?
Yeah. Yeah, and okay. Some of the scenes are straight up from the original. Him sliding down the banister, but he doesn't wipe out the same way. They have an echo room, where he gets all the house staff together to all make noises.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a fun movie. The ending is drastically different, though. So, okay. Yeah, yeah. But we open this one with Preston Blake, chairman of Blake Media, who's climbing Mount Everest. And originally, I guess the plan was he was going to have a heart attack meeting O.J. Simpson, but O.J. Simpson was unavailable. So I don't understand how you go from that to Mount Everest.
I just, like, why, like, is there, did you read any indication about, like, why the O.J. thing?
Nope. No, no idea.
That just seems a little
stunty. This was after the trial.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, I mean, it's so after the trial. Like, it just seems, I don't know. I feel like that, I can't imagine that playing well.
Yeah.
But maybe it would have. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, in the original, he just skids off the road and dies in a car crash.
Mm.
Yeah. No, no reason. He just loses control of the car and, like, goes plowing off a bridge. So, I mean, this is at least a much more noble death to begin with. I don't quite understand, though, how they got the footage of them removing the body from the top of Mount Everest that they are showing, broadcasting worldwide this body retrieval from the top of Mount Everest.
Yeah, this is like, well, I mean, there would have been some sort of drone, but not in the way that we have now.
Yeah.
And even at that, like, I don't know that a drone would, how it would operate in that type of cold at that type of altitude.
Yeah, I don't know if it can. But, yeah, they managed to get a helicopter up there to retrieve him, so why not have a news helicopter up there filming, too, I guess. The choice to broadcast it, though, and play it in, like, Times Square, though, is an interesting choice.
I guess it is. Like, the one thing I always find weird is, you know, in other, like, when you see news from other countries, or, like, even like, when a pope dies, like, they'll do that whole thing where they, like,
the smoke,
for lack of a better word, like,
well,
they, like, parade the body, like, body, like, oh. like out and out in the public to, like, wherever it goes. Like, it's not in a casket or anything. It's, like,
okay.
It's, like, this open where you can, like, see the body, which is definitely not something, like, we do in North America, which is, no. I don't know. I'm always just like, oh, that's weird, kind of, that there's just a dead body.
Visit the body of Lenin in Moscow or, you know, things like that. Like, yeah, I remember that being a thing, too. So.
Yeah. I know when you, like, I went to the Vatican and they have all these old bodies, like all these old dead popes just laying there.
just chilling, just hanging out.
Yeah, you're just like, that's an actual
party.
Person. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, I've never actually been to the Body Worlds exhibit, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but it's like every now and then you,
have
like, are reminded, like, these were real people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing them, like, flayed out and spread apart, and it's very strange.
Yeah. So we're quickly brought up to the fact that Blake has no heirs, and I love, though, that when they find the heir, they get this fax.
Yeah.
That is just this huge fax, six words, you know, like, his name, Mandrake Falls, right? And that's all they have. Like, they couldn't even get a picture of this guy. Like, it's 2002, man. Gotta Gotta have like a MySpace picture or something.
Yeah, you would have thought it would have been like, well, even just for the sake of the movie, that they would have just showed this like full, like some stupid picture of Adam Sandler like come out on the fax.
Yeah, like they do later on when the, you know, media has a picture of him. You know, yeah. They have that one stupid picture of him, yeah.
It's always nice to see Peter Gallagher and his extremely bushy eyebrows.
He does have extraordinary eyebrows, doesn't he? I mean, they even poked fun at it in this movie at one point, saying that he could do with plucking them.
I think this movie also stands out in my mind for this movie because this sort of, the OC would have still been on the air when Mr. Deeds came out, and he was the dad, so. And I was, as I most was people not. Of that age, I was fully into the OC.
I was not. Yeah, no, I know very little about the OC. I'm always surprised when I'm watching something and I Google who someone is and it's like, oh, I guess I'd know who this fucking guy was if I watched the OC. Like Gotham. I had
Ben
no
McKenzie,
idea. Yeah, I had
Adam
no idea.
Brody, all those guys.
Yeah. No idea. I'm absolutely, like, I'm in the dark. I'm absolutely clueless about...
That's funny, yeah.
A certain, you know, little aspect of pop culture that I'm just blind. Yeah.
Yeah, teen soaps of the early 2000s.
Yeah, the teen soapiest I got was Smallville. You know, like, that was my Dawson's Creek. Yeah. And that was my Seventh Heaven.
Yeah. Oh, God. Jesus. Literally.
Of course, I have watched Gilmore Girls all the way through, including their, you know, 1 year in a life or whatever, 4-episode thing they did for Netflix. Yeah, I was on board with Gilmore Girls. So they go looking for Deeds. I love the moment when they land the helicopter and they get to talk to good old Peter Dante. I mean, this is back when, like, Adam Sandler had just all his buddies in the movie. His buddy list has shifted over the years.
I think there's no Kevin James in this movie.
Yeah, no Chris Rock, no Spade, no, yeah. You know, they do get the Schneider. They do get the delivery guy from Big Daddy Schneider. Mm-hmm. You know, Colin, I think I want to do a little I Used to Like This One Piece Theater.
All right.
I couldn't decide on which one I wanted to do, but I think I want to do this one. Okay, it's that one. I actually had 3 choices picked up for this one. We could do all 3. But so... right here is the scene where they land, and they're looking for Longfellow Deeds. And I especially love the one line from Anderson. Now, we've got Cedar and Anderson in this. I think we'll just blend those into one character and have Murph on the other side. So do you want to be Murph or do you want to be Cedar Anderson?
I'll be Murph.
Murph? Okay. All right. We're looking for somebody. Longfellow Deeds.
Wow! Is that Deeds' first name?
Well, if the Deeds you're referring to is Longfellow Deeds, then yes, that is Deeds' first name.
Well... I don't know Deeds' first name. Maybe it's Greg.
Maybe it's Longfellow.
Maybe, but I don't know. I know another guy named Greg. You want me to call him up?
No, thank you. Please, just tell us where Deeds lives. Yes! I used to like this One Piece Theater. I just love that one line of, well... if the Deeds you're referring to is named Longfellow Deeds, then yes, that is his first name. I love that line. It's I don't know why it stuck out to me this time.
There's actually... I haven't watched this movie in a long time, but again, to kind of show you how formative this movie is for me, when I was watching it, I was realizing there's so many lines from this movie that are in... my, like, common like vernacular things that I use regularly, like the genius like that anytime I'll see someone get hit, I'm like oh, I got knocked out, like he went down like a sack of potatoes. Like,
so many
different things like that.
What I realized, and I have a tattoo of it on my arm, is he says wicked a lot before all his stuff. Like, oh, that was a wicked hard hit you just took. And that's what I used to say every day when I dropped Chris off at elementary school, was have a wicked awesome day. And I realized I was saying that because that's how I spoke around the time that this movie came out, which, was shortly, thereby the time that he started going to school. So, have a wicked awesome day is on my body because of this movie. And I realized that on this viewing.
Yeah. Well, this is the movie that is the first time I ever heard Space Oddity. And I would always like sing that. Like anytime I listen to this song or that song, I imagine this scene.
Yep, I sure do. Me too, 100%. It's such a great scene. Like, I mean, it's got to be up there as one of my all-time people breaking into song in the middle of a movie moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's something like, I say a little prayer for you in my best friend's wedding, and like Top Gun, yeah. This is up there. Yeah. And it's just like, I want more.
I know. I always feel the same way. Like when Cedar like cuts them off, it always kind of pisses me off.
Yeah. I want the extended cut on that one. Yeah. Especially when Anderson gets into it. Like, I love Anderson as a character. He's such a great character.
Yeah, like, I could use more of him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, oh, well, I'll call you Kitty Meow. Like, he's hitting on the ladies, and he loves his Frosties. Oh my God, does he love his Frosties. He tried to make his own at home, but it just wasn't the same. He was dreaming about it all night long.
Yeah. I also blame this movie for it. I had a massive Hawaiian Punch addiction.
Oh, yeah. Apparently that was a last minute, idea from Adam Sandler, where he's like, wait, it should have Hawaiian Punch, not water. Yeah. That was like a day of choice. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I've always loved the Deeds character, though. Once we do meet him, he is the typical Adam Sandler everybody type guy that is also got a mean streak in him. the scene in the restaurant is actually also in the original movie, like the one where he like, if it weren't for the fact that the lady was present, I would punch your face in right now. Yeah, in the original, it's I'd knock your heads together, but we still get the same, oh, I don't mind.
And really? That's so surprising.
Yeah, throws some hands, yeah.
Because, I just would, that's so Sandler to me that I would have just assumed that was, just part of, like, the Sandler-esque nature of the movie.
I was surprised by that as well. The part as well where after he walks Babe Bennett home, and he tries jumping over the garbage cans and wipes out. That's also something that is an homage to the original because, he goes running down the stairs and trips over garbage cans in the original.
Damn.
Like, they showed some love in this in certain places, which is, quite impressive for... It's like, well, okay. You wouldn't have expected that from Adam Sandler, I think is kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the original, he is a successful, poet for greeting cards, or they say it's a lot of postcards in that one. But that's how he employs himself in the original. Whereas in this one, it's his aspiration is to become that. But he's got a pizza place. I mean, the fuck are you complaining about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need to write greeting cards?
Mm-hmm.
You're living the dream already.
Yeah. Man, I need to watch that movie, I think. I always kind of thought, like, I knew that, like, later, not at the time I watched it, but later on when I was older, I found out that there was an original movie. And I always just assumed that that they were probably just, like, nothing alike. It's crazy to me that that they actually kind of used a lot of it seemingly as the template.
For something from the 30s, I'm so surprised. Yeah. It was baffling, really. I mean, something like Fun with Dick and Jane is also a remake, but I think the original was more like the 60s, where sensibilities are a little bit different than a Frank Capra film.
Well, I was thinking about, like, I really like The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller. Like, I like that movie, but from what I've read, it's like nothing like the original or whatever. It's kind of its own thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I guess I wouldn't want to go back and see that one because I also like that. That was a nice little movie. So in this town, though, there's no handshakes. We hug around here, buddy. Yeah, so he's the lovable goof. The one moment still killed me where, like, they say, hey, you've inherited $20 billion. And he's like, wait a minute. You're not a cop. What do you mean you got to get back to work?
I do really like the idea that this small town just, like, gathers every day to hear this knucklehead recite bad poems. Like, yeah, I was thinking about most of his things. Like, I've never seen a green card that's like a greeting card. a green card. I haven't seen a green card either, but I've never seen a greeting card that's such, like, long, whimsical poetry. Most of the greeting cards I've seen are, like, to a loving son and his adoring wife, like, wishing you all the best, blah, blah, or, like, whatever, you know, or, like, well, wishing you the best in this holiday season. But I also just buy my cards from the dollar store, so maybe that's why.
Well, okay, maybe that's it. I mean, I buy whimsical cards myself, but no, I mean, you didn't have a grandma that gave you the old, oh, to a grandson that's swell and a blah, 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 and it's, you know, like a whole page of text, and you just skim over it and pretend to read it while they're staring at you, and then it's like, thanks for the $5. No,
I don't think I've seen a greeting card that was, you know, beyond maybe three lines.
Oh, okay. No, you're shopping in the wrong section of the greeting cards. Yeah, you got to find, there's some that have, like, dirty poems too. But I mean, I don't necessarily trust.
Next time
trust...
I'm going to actually go to Hallmark and check it out.
Well, are there even still Hallmark stores? I don't even know which greeting card stores still exist in this day and age.
There's still a Hallmark in... There's definitely one in West Ed still. And I think there's still one in South Edmonton Common.
You know what's interesting about the Hallmark, though? Is that they get name-dropped throughout this entire movie. But at the end, when you actually see the one that he finally sells... it's not a Hallmark card. It's like, out of all the opportunities for any kind of sponsorship in this movie, you don't reach out to Hallmark and get, like, an actual Hallmark card to print your shit on. What a missed opportunity. But it's a great time for Sponsorship Corner. So, always on the lookout for product placements and movies, this week, Mr. Deeds is brought to you by Wendy's, Budweiser and O'Doul's Beers, JVC and Sony Electronics, Hask Shampoo, Kodak, Cocoa Pebbles and Special K Cereals, Pepsi, Wrigley's Gum, Volkswagen and Chevrolet, specifically the Corvette, Con Edison, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, the New York Post, NBC, Puma, and the New York Knicks, plus fictional Blake Media and BBN, Inside Access. Does Inside Access air on one of the Blake networks?
I mean, I kind of think it does, just because it seems like Blake Media owns almost all of them.
Yeah. Grable's, and of course, Deeds' Pizza. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Hallmark. You lost out, Hallmark. But I guess if you're name dropping them that much,
yeah.
I mean, Hallmark's basically a sponsor of ours now.
Something tells me that Hallmark doesn't need the advertising.
No, probably not. No. I think they're doing okay.
Nobody's buying Carlton cards.
Yeah.
Unless they want to sponsor us, and then we'll gladly advertise their goodness on this show.
Hey, I like me a Carlton card as well. Carlton cards are okay by me. Yeah.
I always thought you were more of a papyrus man. You went for those fancy high end cards that cost like $20. That's
right. Yeah, unfortunately, the place that I tend to buy Valentine's Day flowers, that's the kiosk that they have next to it.
Yeah,
is only the papyrus. So I guess I am a papyrus man. Is Steve Buscemi actually doing something with his eyes, or is that a contact or like special effect? Like,
I think that's some sort of cover because they don't move ever. Like, I think it's some sort of prosthetic.
Okay, because if he can actually do, I mean, if he can do that with his eyes, ouch.
Yeah,
but like, just impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, I just if somebody could actually physically do that with their eyes, then I would just never do it because I'd fear they would get stuck that way.
Yeah, especially for the length of some of the things that he, like some of the speeches he has. You ever consider he was just waving? The wizard trying to cast a spell.
Or the squirrel.
Yeah.
That's a goat.
Yeah, he's talking to the squirrel. Yeah, the fact that he's the guy that ends up saving the day is bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Or in a way, he's one of the guys that saves the day. So, yeah, he has inherited $20 billion, and they come and pick him up in a helicopter, and the whole town goes to see him off. This is actually a scene that's also in the original. The whole town goes to see him off in the original as well. And in that one, Deeds plays a tuba. That's his thing, is he loves playing the tuba. So they're looking for him to take him away, and he's playing the tuba at his own goodbye party. Like, that's where they find him, playing He's a Jolly Good Fellow. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so they get to New York after singing Space Oddity on the helicopter. And then we got the guy that does the, hey, Mandrake Falls, and then does the James Bond shit off the side of the building. And then we get to meet Emilio. Fuck, John Turturro, man. He is...
I think this is my introduction to John Turturro.
Is it? Okay.
I was wondering if this is like... I don't know where this is in his career, but this was... the first movie that I've ever seen him in, because every movie I saw him in afterwards, I was always like, oh, that's the guy from Mr. Deeds.
Yeah. I think he was Big Lebowski for me.
Oh, right. I forgot he's in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was always the Jesus whenever I saw him in anything for a while. And then he shows up in the Batman, and he's like fucking awesome in the Batman, but it's like, it's still the Jesus. It's still sneaky, sneaky. You know, like it's...
Yeah, that was actually, like, obviously Emilio and Carmine Falcone are very different characters, but it's like...
Very much.
There's still that John, like, John Turturro is there, that I don't know, whatever, that je ne sais quoi that makes him up.
Yeah. I was shocked to see J.B. Smoove in this movie as the elevator guy. I know him more now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, right? I only know him, like, from listening to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yeah.
and just hearing him rattle on about, I don't know, all sorts of weird nonsense.
Yeah, he's shown up in various sitcoms that I enjoy, though. And so it's like, yeah, he's more known to me now, but then to see him in this movie, I'm like, holy shit, wait, that's J.B. Smoove. Okay, crazy. Yeah. And still got one of the best lines in the movie. With, oh, it's got its ups and downs. Come on. That's the greatest. The old man saying boob is pretty great, too.
Yeah.
Boob.
One of the reasons I like this movie so much is because there's just like a... there's just a sweetness to it throughout.
He's yeah,
like I like all those innocent. small little lines and all those like yeah those innocent little jokes and just the that whole Deeds attitude. It plays like, you know, the character plays it in the world of the movie, but it really like comes off the screen as well, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's very likable in this movie compared to, you know, some of the future stuff that Adam Sandler does. Mm-hmm. No, I have always liked the character of Mr. Deeds. Like, this is even a nicer character than Koufax in Big Daddy. You know, from around mm-hmm. the same time. I mean, that guy was a putz. Mr. Deeds is lovable.
When you think this movie could have set up like the Sandler verse, yeah. Because we get the delivery driver from Big Daddy and Rob Schneider is here.
That's right.
And it was weird for me. I had to actually look it up afterwards to make sure that I wasn't just. I was like, they seem like they're this. It seems like he's playing the exact same guy.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, he was. So then I was like, oh, like this New York City has both Sandy Koufax and Longfellow Deeds in the same world.
Yeah.
They should have just done what like a single scene where they meet.
Yeah, it's like
or just like high five on the street.
It's like linking up the you can do it guys. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in three different movies and Adam Sandler plays them in one of Rob Schneider's movies.
Oh really?
He comes in, yeah, with the you can do it. Yeah. Well, I think Deuce Bigelow. Yeah, I think he's in Deuce Bigelow. Anyway. Okay, so I want to know the actual logistics of a frostbitten foot. Because I gotta wonder, when he starts smashing it with the fireplace poker and everything like that, I mean, it's not indestructible. You'd still be pulverizing the bones. I mean, walking around on that would be like walking around on a wet bag of sand once he's done smashing it with a fireplace poker like that. Right.
Well, it's also like, it's interesting because the foot seems like it's frozen through, like it would be so it would be solid. But Deeds never walks with any sort of limp.
Yeah,
like too. your foot, the way it works is like it's a cushion and a spring.
Yeah,
it needs to be able to move for you to be able to like have a proper gait. Otherwise, it's just, you know, whenever you see people who have like a club foot, or if anybody's ever broken their ankle and had to wear like a boot.
Yeah, there's like, joints there.
That's
kind of
that's the situation you would be working with.
Even just but walking I also have in to ski think, boots.
Yeah. Like I have to think if it was frozen through, what doctor is just allowing that foot to stay? Like if there's no blood supply, shouldn't you be amputating it so that it doesn't affect blood flow and that sort of thing?
See, I never took it as frozen through, though. I mean,
well, I was just thinking because he gets it stabbed.
Yeah, he does get it stabbed. So, I mean, the fact that it's black would mean that there's no blood flow to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why no blood comes gushing out. But you think it's because it's all frozen?
Well, yeah. Like to me, the way it seems is like if he can get it stabbed through, and like.
Pinned
so
to
that
the
it's
floor.
Pinned to the floor,
yeah.
But it doesn't actually hurt, then that tells me that, but it's still solid enough for him to stand, then to me it has to be frozen through.
Yeah.
But even that doesn't make sense. Like, I don't think you can get permanent, like, I don't know that, like, permafrost works that way.
Well, he does say nerve damage, right? Because he had a wicked bad case of frostbite. But so I assume that it was still squishy, mm-hmm. but you can't go and smash it with a hammer because the bones will still break. That was what I was thinking. And then on top of that, when he rescues Babe at the end, he takes off his boot to smash down on the ice. Like it's not like, so I guess that would,
well, that was my,
that would
that
give
was
credence
to
your theory,
like,
of frozen solid. Yeah. Ice versus ice.
Like it's solid because otherwise why would he use it as like a battering? Like why wouldn't he just keep his boot on in that case? Clearly the foot must be harder than the boot.
Here comes the black foot. Yeah. 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 You don't want to have the spring of the rubber sole of his Timberlands. You know, I do like the though. Oh, please, please jump on my foot. Jump. Emilio with his foot fetish.
What does he say? The disgustingness of that foot will haunt my dreams forever. But he still wanted to change his socks.
Yeah.
Something tells me Emilio had it. It had, like, he liked that foot. There was something alluring to him about it.
Well, it is a fascinating foot. I mean, we just spent, like, 7 minutes talking about it. And we weren't even in the room with it. If I was in the room with it, I'd have so many more questions.
Yeah, like, to me, it looks more like it's burnt.
Yeah, 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 a
not little bit. Not frostbitten. Like, it looks like it looks more like it was encased in molten lava or something like that.
No, well, I mean, I've seen some bad frostbite, and it just blackens everything, so.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen frostbite that bad.
Yeah, well, not that bad. Oh, or you just mean black?
Well, just
bad.
just that if it's black. I've always heard of, like, frostbite, like, when you get really bad frostbite, it kind of makes your skin more, like, pale and white. Not, I never heard of black, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, you'd think you'd get it.
I don't know. For all the listeners out there, they can go, if they want to go search levels of severity of frostbite and post it on our Facebook page, then they can do that.
Oh, thanks for that invite.
For us to look at, just so we can be sure.
See how you're wrong or something, yeah.
Look, I don't do this podcast just to talk about movies. I do it to learn.
To learn. That's right. We have learned many things on this show over the years. Yeah. I like the scene of him firing the football player. You know, and,
I like, yeah.
Yeah, and the
right... That guy.
Yeah, that guy. What, you sounded like you had more to say about him.
Well, that guy, what's his name? I have it here. Blake Clark. I swear,
dad.
He's in the run. The last time we saw him in the rundown, I'm pretty sure. I feel like he's one of the. I feel like he's also. Oh no, Blake Clark is the dad. Who's that guy?
I don't remember that guy's name. Yeah, no, yeah, Blake Clark is the dad.
Oh, Brandon Molal.
Yeah, no, anyways. And you're right. Yes, he was in the rundown. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's in a lot of things where he's literally just, his role might as well just be like muscle bound meathead.
Or big dummy.
Yeah.
Big dummy.
Football guy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But I just like, yeah, the not to swear in front of ladies present and more of those endearing things. I also like the running gag of the echo room. You know, the fact that he comes into the conference room, woohoo! And, oh, you've got an echo room in here, too.
I love the beating that Deeds lays on Marty.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
With the whole personality. Like, it's just so excessive.
Yeah. Come on, molest me! What a meet cute as he beats him down. Apparently, Alan Covert, like, slipped when he gets spun around and ended up hitting his head, and he was knocked out for a full minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he took one for the team. He's not the only one. Winona Ryder also broke her arm in the montage where they're biking down the stairs.
I was going to call it. When I saw them biking down those stairs, I was like, there's no way they make it look easy, but yeah. That's a hard thing to do without absolutely destroying yourself.
Yeah, yeah. No, Winona Ryder broke her arm. I don't know why she was the one doing it.
Like... Well, I was going to say that, too. Obviously, that's not the take that they used, but I'm pretty sure that the part that's in the movie, anyways, is stunt people because they're, like, conspicuously shadowed, so you can't really make out their faces.
Well, that would explain it then, yeah.
I was going to ask, do they, how long, from the time that Deeds first gets to New York and meets Babe and beats up Marty to, I guess, towards the end of the movie where Babe is sat in the bar and Marty is still trying to get in her pants.
Yeah.
Like, how long of a timeline are we talking here?
It's tough to say. I mean, and even the original doesn't really shine any light on that because it feels a little ambiguous in the movie, in that movie as well. It's, I feel like there's a good chunk of time that's passed, but it doesn't feel like more than a month, does it? Like,
well, I was just going to say, because his,
Marty's black eye seems to last a really long time. And now that you mentioned him getting knocked out, I was like, I wonder if maybe he just was like legitimately injured and they were just like, now you're not going to use makeup.
So yeah, he has his meet cute with Babe Bennett and then they end up going out for dinner. You know, the one thing I don't understand about Babe Bennett's strategy. See, and this is why I found the love story in the original, like, more compelling, is because in the original, she is actually telling stories about herself, whereas in this, she just starts telling To Kill a Mockingbird stories, and Deeds is too stupid to realize it. But she also seems like she's making this up on the fly. It's like, okay, so you had this plan to infiltrate his life, but you didn't think that he might ask you a question about where you're from when you meet him? Why are you improvising this right in this moment?
Yeah, you would think, if you're, especially if you're a journalist, you would have your story down, like, ironclad.
Yeah, I don't like the insincerity of it. Whereas I found that joy watching this other one earlier, is it's like, oh, okay, like, she's telling stories of her parents growing up, and that's what he's falling in love with. Whereas with this one, it's like she has her one big speech of, this is who I really am. Whereas in the original, it's like, oh, no, okay, you just have to know that my name's Louise, not Mary. That's what she has to know from in the original, right?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, because in this one, it does kind of, like, there actually is no real reason why they would get back together.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't actually fallen in love. He doesn't.
Yeah, she may have fallen in love with him, but I don't think it should be reciprocated at this point.
Yeah, like, when he says, I don't know who you are, like, that's an actual
fact.
That's real. Like, and literally nothing has changed in the time between when they leave each other in Mandrake Falls and when they meet each other again. I guess they just decide, like, well, you did me a sweet solid, and so I'm willing to overlook everything else, and I'll just get to know you now, I suppose.
Yeah, like, they say that the best way to, like, help keep a lie for a long period of time is if it's close to the truth. Right? You know, like, it's just like, yeah, okay, like, you don't have to make up this, oh, I'm from a small town too, and all this sort of stuff. I don't know. The original, it sounds like she actually was from a small town, but, like, is Babe Bennett actually from New York City then?
I thought she was. I'm just realizing now, even as, like, an audience, like, we don't truly know.
We don't know her.
About her.
Yeah. Like, should we feel like we're in the dark too? Like, should we feel like we've been betrayed as viewers that, oh my God, she lied to us too.
Mm-hmm. I have a fun fact about Brandon Mulal, or however you pronounce his name.
Okay.
Back in 2017, he was in talks to play Shazam.
Oh,
he was
wow.
gonna be the he was gonna be the one to be Captain Marvel and take on Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam. And now we all know how that went.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
It's so sad to read these tweets. These tweets where he's so psyched because clearly he thinks he's gonna get the role, and damn, poor guy.
There's been a lot of that going on in the last year or so. Yeah. So he takes Babe to the restaurant, kicks all the rich guys' asses, and then we meet John McEnroe, and we have a night out on the town. And this also is a scene from the 1936 movie, not that he meets a tennis legend, but that he meets some writer that likes his style and takes him out for a night on the town. He wakes up hungover in bed in the original as well.
Wow. The John, I don't know. Now I guess I know a little bit more about who John McEnroe was, but when I first watched this movie, that all went completely over my head.
Yeah.
I had no idea who John McEnroe was. I wasn't a big tennis aficionado.
No, no.
That scene where he jumps over the car is just super confusing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was definitely known for yelling at the refs and all that sort of stuff, so that's on point. But mm-hmm. yeah, it was always a bizarre cameo to me, where it's just like, okay, sure.
Yeah, you just roll with it and keep going.
For some reason, yeah, Mr. Deeds, yeah, for some reason Deeds idolizes John McEnroe. Okay, Johnny Mac, let's, and everyone back home is like, yeah, Johnny Mac, like, was he from Manchester Falls? Like, or do I have the name of that right? Was it Manchester Falls?
No, Mandrake.
Mandrake Falls. The fact that he manages to find a Winchestertonville, Iowa, is pretty staggering. Like, how did she manage to get that one right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's, yeah. That's one of those things that in the context of the movie is funny. It's yeah. funny that it ends up, but, like, it really just does not hold up to any sort of scrutiny.
Like, it would make more sense if that scene followed him having found out that she's a fraud.
Mm-hmm. And took, like, her there. Yeah, that would be funnier.
I want to propose to you, but because he has $20 billion, he could have the town pretend to be Winchestertonville, Iowa.
Like, he not bought a town, but, like, found a Bribe small them, town yeah. and, like, made it yeah. all this. Yeah, that would have been way funnier.
Right? Yeah.
Don't go spending it all on those record players. I won't.
Those fancy record players.
Instead, yeah. he just goes and buys a town and gets everybody to be in on the act.
That would have been so good. Oh, my God. You know, and they could have pretended that they did remember her and everything like that.
Oh, yeah. That kid. My daddy built this house with his own two hands. Your daddy's a liar.
Oh, boy. So after he wakes up hungover, he goes to Uncle Preston's funeral with the eulogy from Al Sharpton. And then Deeds opens up the casket. Now, I know it's for comedy, but come on. They wouldn't leave a body frozen like that. But I guess that also plays into your frozen solid foot theory. Is that, you know, well, apparently in this universe, they are just willing to leave something frozen instead of thawing a body out to put in some respectful clothing.
Yeah, I guess. It's like he's flash frozen or yeah. like mummified or something. I don't know.
Something like that, yeah. They would find ways.
It also would have been funny if, like, when he folds him back up into the casket, if he would have literally broken his arm off, and you could see his, yeah. him, like, be like, oops, and, like, take the arm out, and then just, like, throw it back in and go.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of just talking about, I think I broke his wrist or whatever. Yeah. Of course, the sounds are pretty effective in that scene, I will say. The Foley guy had some fun on that one.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he compliments Al Sharpton's rhymes. He gets such bizarre cameos in his movies. That's the one thing about Adam Sandler that my mind is always blown with, is the staggering amount of famous people that he can convince to come in and do some stupid shit.
Yeah, I've always kind of just felt like he's such a nice dude. Like, Adam yeah. Sandler is one of those guys that I sincerely hope is not an asshole, like, in real yeah. life. Like he seems like he's just, like, an average, well, not, like, average, but, like, he just seems like he's just a nice stand-up guy in any interview I've ever heard him yeah. in or seen him in. And it would really break my heart to find out that he was a jerk.
A colossal prick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would absolutely suck, yeah. Yeah, he seems chill. He seems down to earth. You know, he never wears a suit. Like, he hates wearing suits. But I mean, even a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Dick Tracy with Al Pacino, and then it's like, and then you completely forget that somehow he managed to get Al Pacino to do Jack and Jill of all his movies. Somehow Al fucking Pacino is in Jack and Jill, or Christopher Walken in Click. It's like, you know. He has a silver tongue when it comes to convincing these people to be in his movies.
He does. I mean, yeah.
Sandy Wexler.
He's got to have, like, oh, I don't know. I'd be curious to know, like, how much, like, clearly his movies on Netflix have been doing well enough because continues to make them. So I wonder if it's one of those things. Like people
just
know.
He's got a murder mystery 2 coming out.
Yeah, people just know he has this built-in fan base that will just never not show up.
Yeah, I'm still there for it.
Oh, yeah. I watched Tubi Halloween.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That one was 100% fan service. I mean, there's a podcast, The Sandler Pit, that I've listened to. And, yeah, Tubi Halloween is the one that gets, like, the most praise from them. They keep bringing that one up because they loved it so much. Yeah, that was a fun. It was stupid,
mm-hmm.
but my God, it hit every nostalgia bone that you want something Adam Sandler to hit.
Yeah.
I don't really like Winona Ryder in this movie, though. Out of all the love interest that Adam Sandler has had in movies over the years, with the most bizarre chemistry of all, I think Winona Ryder is probably in the top for. You know, most unlikable female love interest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know for sure, but I have a feeling that this movie was meant to star Drew Barrymore. Because
you think so?
When I was watching it, I just kept feeling like, or maybe what happened is that Winona Ryder like had seen The Wedding Singer, I guess, at this point, and saw the chemistry that Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler had, because I just feel like Winona Ryder is playing Drew Barrymore playing Babe Bennett.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of seems like to me.
Yeah. That's why they dye her hair blonde.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we need you to look more like Drew Barrymore. But then she has like her bullshit excuse of, it's because I'm Swedish. It's like, why the fuck do you need? No, I'm not a natural blonde. Yeah, sorry.
It definitely sounds like they didn't write that character, like they probably didn't do her any favors in writing that character with any depth either, because she have any.
Yeah, and there was a moment that I'm wondering whether it was the script, whether it was her choice, or whether it was something the director wanted her to do. But like the moment when she's on the phone pretending she's at work being a nurse, you know, she has Alan Covert doing a child's voice. She says, oh no, she never drinks, not even rum raisin ice cream, and then very deliberately takes a sip of her beer. Like, it's whose choice was that? Because it's a terrible choice, whoever's it was.
Mm-hmm. I can't answer that question. I wasn't there.
Yeah, it's just too on the fucking nose. I don't know. And that's one of the reasons why it's like, I don't like Winona Ryder in this part, and I don't know whether it's because of how she was directed or the character or what it is, but yeah, I'm not a fan of Babe Bennett, and I never really have been in the grand scheme of things, but now that I have seen Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, it's like, oh no, they kind of did this character dirty in this movie. They could have had a very lovely little love story in this.
Mm-hmm.
But they threw that aside. They didn't want to make it a romantic thing. They wanted more of the goofy shit of him, like, you know, sliding down a banister and landing on a table.
Yeah. Yeah, and even I felt like the stakes, the whole reveal, like when Chuck reveals and like shows Deeds the news broadcast and stuff. I don't know. I didn't really buy, like, I think we talked about it a little bit before, but it's like, I get like, they tried to make that scene so big, but it fell so flat. Like, Deeds' performance, yeah, like Adam Sandler is fine, but it's just like, I don't know, Babe's, she kind of just like turns on a dime and is all of a sudden like, oh, well, I just feel bad now. But they hadn't really shown her like falling in love with him as much yet.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like they needed to elevate the stakes a little bit more to show, like, oh, like, she's actually, like, falling for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah, really, she's just impressed by his ability to rescue cats from a fire. But not necessarily, like, in love with him.
Uh-huh. And I don't understand the logic of why that wouldn't have been a compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
Him saving cats. I don't understand why they have to go for the trash journalism on that one.
Yeah, that made no sense either.
I've got a bone to pick with that, because the first cat falls out, hits the trampoline, lands in her arms, and it's covering up the flower where the camera is supposed to be for the entire rescue of the other six cats. There would have been no other footage.
Well, yeah. I mean, not to mention that somehow there's footage coming from above.
and inside the apartment. And yeah, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I'm just saying that the camera that's established in the reality of this moment.
Yeah, I guess. There's probably news helicopters and stuff there that they pulled other footage from to recut.
But which means, why is this inside Hollywood or Access Inside or whatever the fuck
it's called? Yeah, like, it's such an easy thing to debunk. The idea that he wasn't the hero in that situation, it doesn't...
I'm gonna get ya!
Yeah, and all the like, added sound effects and voices they add, I agree. Yeah. Watching it this time, it made no sense why they would do that, like...
Yeah. Fuck sensational journalism, you know, like...
Yeah, like, even TMZ, I feel like, doesn't do that. They go and find, like, messed up stuff.
That's Inquirer shit, but that's when you're making up stories about Elvis still being alive or aliens or whatever, or the proper channels to go through if you're a Men in Black, because that's where all the real journalism is.
Yeah, I couldn't really place what type of show Inside Access was, because I kind of thought that it was like an Access Hollywood or a...
Inside like Edition is what...
Entertainment Tonight or something like that, okay.
Yeah, no, see, I'm thinking more Inside Edition, which would have been more of the times.
Okay.
Which kind of, all of those sort of evolved into the TMZs and Access Hollywoods of the world, because, you know, the other stuff that they were talking about, A Current Affair would be another one. But yeah, Adam Sandler did his own climbing up the side of that building, with a harness, of course, but... Yeah, apparently he climbed up himself. Hmm. So good on him. I guess above all, he's this unexpected athlete. Like, Adam Sandler always makes himself an athlete in his movies somehow, or an ex-athlete. And he doesn't necessarily look like it, but then, you know, he sneaks something like this out at you and does a drainpipe climb.
Yeah. That woman also, I feel like her back would be broken. It's a weird... Yeah. I don't know how that would fare today, him basically using like a fat woman as a landing pad, but
yeah, probably not. Yeah. And, you know, for anyone keeping a diversity count, I think that's our second black person of the movie. Only one that's in Mandrake Falls, the old guy that he carries across the street. So
that'd be third then, because we got JB.
Oh, JB Smoove. Can't forget JB Smoove. That's right. Okay. There we go. Yes, I can't even keep count of my diversity count. There's so many. That fire truck is also real. It's that fire truck 54. It was one of the first responders during 9/11. So, yeah.
Was that the reason why it was selected, or?
No, I don't think so. Okay. No, yeah, I don't think it's like, oh shit, something bad's happened uptown. Let's get that famous fire truck in here. Oh, wait, no, oh, right, I guess this was after 9/11, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This was 2002, shit. Oh, maybe that's why, yeah, maybe that is why it was selected. I don't know. But I'd say there's a lot of fire trucks in New York that could have probably been chosen if that's the reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was probably filmed in 2001.
Yeah.
But a movie like this, I'm guessing, doesn't have a very long shooting schedule, so it could have also been, like, early 2002.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. For whatever reason, this movie has a Christmas movie feel to me.
Yeah, it kind of does. Maybe it's the guy freezing to death in the beginning, or the fact that, you know, he saves her by breaking through ice. Like, it is definitely a wintertime movie, but not in New York. Everywhere else it is.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Mandrake Falls seems to be one of these perennial Hallmark movie Christmas towns.
That's right, yeah. Maybe it's like, yeah, maybe it should be, like, Mandrake Falls, Alaska instead or something like that. Yeah, I don't know, because, yeah, New York is pretty sunny. They're able to play tennis in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're out in their tennis whites playing tennis. I still like the tennis scene, though. I swear to God, I'm not trying to hit you. But you like that, Anderson, don't you? Ooh, very much. Now, the Marty soaping his butt excessively soon. I've never quite understood the need for this scene. Not that I've got a problem with it. I don't understand. I don't get the joke.
I just think the ridiculousness of it is the joke. Like, who soaps their ass that much? I mean, or maybe he has like a really like ass sweat problem. I don't know.
Yeah. I do like how they keep throwing Marty in all his terrible disguises and everything, yeah, with the mustache that's coming off.
I remember Marty being in the movie more than he was. And I thought there was more, like, clearly he's, like, creeping on Babe. But I thought it was, like, a little bit more relevant, I guess, to the story.
You know,
but
strangely, so did I. I thought he had a major crush on her that was more a part of the story. When I first saw him, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the one with that guy that's in love with her. And then it's like, oh, no, not really. He's just kind of there when they need him.
Yeah, he's basically just the guy who, like, when they need to kind of move the story along, that he shows up to do something.
Yeah. But at least they keep the consistency of keeping him in there to be like, hey, don't forget, this guy's always watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So going back to the engagement, I wanted to say that in the original, the table scene where he's like, oh, bring in a lower set of flowers, and then, hey, you sit there and, you know, slink down lower. That's all from the original movie as well.
Man.
Yeah. But in the original movie, and this is one of those things that would have probably made this love story more impactful for you, he finds out that she is a reporter, and he ends up calling her at work where she is just in the process of quitting her job. And then he phones her at work and is like, hey, are you the person that wrote all this stuff about me? And, like, he breaks up with her, not, like, this whole tearful, like, I'm sorry, and then taking off. Yeah. It's just, it has a better feel to it where it's, like, he confronts her. I liked it.
Well, then, in the original movie, is there, like, a counterpart to Chuck Seder?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's not as villainous in that one.
Okay.
But they realize they've got a stoop on their hands and that they can control him for whatever they want. But he actually turns out to be kind of a savvy businessman. More so than just firing a football player. They don't have anything like that in the original. But what happens at the end of that one is he just starts giving the money away. Once he finds out who Babe is, he's like, you know, fuck this. I'm just going to give away all this inheritance to people that need it. Mm. And the counterpart for Chuck Seder gets him institutionalized. Okay. He's crazy if he's giving away all his money. I mean, you know, like, they try to prove what a fucking degenerate he is because he likes playing his tuba and he whistles when he goes down the street. And, like, it's, oh, my God, he's such a fucking degenerate. But, yeah, so instead of the whole stockbrokers trying to save the company scene at the end, it's not about that. It's this trial to prove his sanity, and he's refusing to speak for himself, and they're all steamrolling over him. But that's what it is it, yeah, a trial for his sanity. And then finally, Babe gets through to him. Yeah.
I almost kind of wish that they would have just taken the original script and kind of just thrown Adam Sandler in it instead of trying to, like, it does sound like kind of what you were saying before, like, the stuff that they took out and, like, changed almost seems like to the detriment of the movie.
Yeah. At least when it comes to the love story, this could have been a really sweet love story. And in the end, it's like, I remember why I appreciated it when I was younger, because it's Adam Sandler yelling a lot and stuff like that. But it's, you know, now that I look at it a bit older, it's missing the heart. And I fortunately ended up finding the heart that they dropped. And it's too bad now that I see it, that they dropped that from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause this movie could have been something that was just a little bit more special than what it is. But that's not saying that I didn't enjoy it, because it's still a hilarious movie to me. Like, all the hijinks that they get up to. Emilio, fuck. I mean, especially after Batman, I have all this newfound appreciation for John Turturro, who I already absolutely adored.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Deeds gets all pissed off. He goes home, and we get the scene between Babe and the chick from Two and a Half Men.
All right, yeah.
I'm sorry. All I heard was blah, blah, blah. I'm a dirty tramp. I don't know what to make of her character. Like, the 2020s have me really messed up, man. Like, I... You know, with this whole, you know, when they have her big reveal of, I always wanted to be a man, you know, and there's the bit where, you know, Winona Ryder is trying to kick her in the nuts, and it's like, you know, I don't have anything down there, honey. Like, it's, I don't know if this is transphobic. The 2020s have me all messed up. It's like, I got tingles, but I don't know how I feel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know, but you definitely flag it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Where you're like, that just, where it just, yeah, the best way I can put it is it just, it like, hits against modern day sensibilities.
Yeah. But it's, you know, otherwise I like the character. And there was nothing else in the movie that really got my tingles going. There can usually be a lot more in an Adam Sandler movie that makes me go, whoa, not so much anymore. But with this one, it's like, eh, there's the bit that where she comes in at the end and says that, you know, I've always wanted to be a man, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess the only other one would be if are we kink shaming against Emilio?
Well,
and his foot fetish.
Hey, I don't want to yuck his yum. I mean, you know, like I'm here to whatever, you know, let your freak flag fly and all that. No, I'm not judging him, and I don't think anyone else is, because, you know, Anderson at the end does consent to letting him have his socks changed, so it's like he is getting his fulfillment. Now, I don't know if it's going to get weird the next morning,
but even that is coerced.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's not a great.
That's true. That is a hashtag Me Too moment, I guess, isn't it? That's you know. Whoa, wait.
Basically
the man in power.
Basically, to keep his job. Yeah.
To keep his job, he has to go and do some webcam girl shit. Yeah, he's maybe that is bad. That should have had my tingles going, I guess. Oh boy.
What's this? Crazy Eyes didn't spark your any thoughts about like being ableist?
I don't know. I mean, he's given a Corvette at the end with no discrimination, just like everyone else. So I know, like, Crazy Eyes just seems a problem all around. I mean, a peanut butter and gumball pizza. Come on, that's ludicrous right there.
You know, well, I don't know, man. The other day I was driving down the road and I drove past a Pizza 73. And they had a Coffee Crisp dessert pizza.
Well, but that's dessert pizza. Like, Deez's pizza doesn't seem like the type that's doing dessert pizza.
Like cheese with a gumball?
Yeah, like a peanut butter and jelly pizza would be great, but what's up with the gumball? You can't cook a gumball.
I also guess it depends on what type of gumball it is. It couldn't be a gumball that had a super hard exterior, because it's like, you need to be able to bite and chew at the same time. It can't be like a massive crunch.
Yeah, it's not like you want croutons on your pizza. Like, you know, it would be the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, harder even. I don't know.
Maybe just get some, like, gum strips.
Gum strips, yeah.
Soft.
Some juicy fruit?
Some five gum strips and just lay them over top.
Make Hawaiian pizza with juicy fruit instead of pineapple.
Yeah.
So yeah, Babe tries to apologize. I don't buy it, because I don't buy the love story. And then we find out that Chuck is gonna sell off the company, so Deeds buys one stock so that he can crash the stockbroker meeting, and we get our big I always wanted to be a whatever moment with everybody in the audience saying all the things that they wanted to be. But then Babe Bennett comes in and saves the day. She redeems herself by having stolen his uncle's diary. Now, I need to ask a bit about this diary here that he found in the table when he broke the table. It's a very small book, but he's talking about stuff that his uncle did when he was 8 years old. And then the diary is also used to prove the conception of Emilio. Did he write in it once a year? It seems like it should be a thicker book. It seems like it should be like Yellow Pages sized or something.
Maybe he writes really, really small.
Really,
or has
really
some small? Some sort of shorthand where he doesn't use vowels.
Yeah, but judging by the the size of the page that, or the amount of space he takes up on the page when they do the flashback, I don't know. It doesn't look like he's writing very small to me. Mind if I wipe your ficus, Mr. Preston?
That scene, like, why is it just yes, yes?
I don't know, but like, you nailed it.
Easy,
like,
easy day on set for that guy.
Yep. Well, except for the amount of makeup they would have had to put in to like de-age him.
Yeah, maybe he's one of those people who just writes whenever he has something important to say.
So I banged a chick tonight gets a
gets a
place. Yeah, okay. And then whatever the event was when he was 8 years old, yeah, something about and then there's also a story that he finds in there about his uncle going to like radio stations when he was younger to do like a slot at 2 to 4 a.m. just because he wanted to. I don't know. Yeah, it's covering a lot of ground.
Yeah. Maybe what we don't see is that there's actually more journals.
Yeah. Okay.
That we just weren't privy to.
So this first one, it's kind of like national treasure. This first one led him on a journey to find the other journals. And it was like on the back of the Declaration of Independence or something. Babe Bennett has done her investigating. She found out that there's only one person that was in the tower that night, and it happens to be Emilio's mother. That is my birthday. That is my money. So Emilio is the rightful heir. We get, you know, how can I ever thank you, Deeds? Hey, your friendship is enough for me. How about $1 billion? Okay. So we get the closing moment where he's bought everyone in town a Corvette. Now, I did a little research. Back in 2002, a brand new Corvette sold for $47,000. Now, I paused and I counted 35 Corvettes in this one scene. So this one scene is $1.675 million. You only have $1 billion left. You should take it easy. Because the 35 that I see in this one shot is not everyone in town. Like, how big would you say the population of Mandrake Falls is?
Also, if you're buying everybody a Corvette, are you also, like, spring? I imagine those have pretty expensive maintenance schedules.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And high-end parts and so premium fuel.
Yeah, you need a new a new mechanic in town, like, better facilities. You need... Come on, Crazy Eyes is always in prison. Do you think that he's able to keep up insurance payments? His is going to go through the roof because of his crazy abnormality. Like, I feel like he's probably paying the insurance for all these people, too. I don't know. You made a mistake, Deeds.
Yeah.
I know you want to help everybody out, but you made a mistake.
Long, long, long fellow.
Yeah, and he can't even get his employees to come to work. You know, and he's expecting these guys to like pay. Do that sick voice again, Murph. Yeah, I like the. Oh man, I was pretending to be sick. I forgot I was pretending to be sick today. That's a good psych out moment. The my delivery guy called in sick, but you don't look too sick, Murph. Oh right, you tricked me. Oh boy, yeah, but they're not going to afford insurance. Whatever. But anyway, there we go. That is Mr. Deeds. Now, Colin, on IMDb, it's scored 5.8 out of 10 and has a Metascore of, 24. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 22% on the tomato meter. Shit, critics hate this movie. And an audience rating of 59%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like bringing in the Blackfoot. Hit us with some reviews.
I'm shocked that the critics reviewed this movie so bad.
Yeah, and I mean, even the audience rating kind of surprises me a bit. I don't think it's quite below 60.
All right. Kevin K. Ray Reinert gave the movie 2 out of 5 stars and says, a fast-paced, feel-good, but extremely predictable, cliche, corny, and silly comedy that was so boring it put me to sleep. There were only 2 or 3 funny scenes in this movie, one of the worst remakes ever. Hollywood should have never remade the classic 1936 film Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, terrible remake of a beloved classic.
Well, I will say, I mean, I definitely talked a bit about the original here today, but I don't think it has tainted my view on this, right? Like, maybe if I was more familiar with the first one first, instead of having just learned about it literally today, I might have a different view, but I don't think that it's, I don't think it bastardized it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just took away a key. It took away some of the heart. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an unnamed Rotten Tomatoes reviewer who gave the movie 3 out of 5 stars and says, it was okay. The acting is on the lazy, nonchalant side, but nothing really to complain about. The cinematography is not bad with a lot of the memorable sets and locations, but the camera work and visual gag setups aren't that memorable and fall flat many times. The music is okay and kind of on the forgettable side. The editing and pacing are perfectly average, also with things moving along. The plot is very one-dimensional, though with the character Deeds not really learning anything, instead settling for a cookie-cutter happy ending. Overall, it's perfectly average and harmless. If you like Sandler movies, you'll get a few chuckles out of this, but that's about it. Otherwise, skip it.
Not a lot of love for Mr. D's. Holy shit.
And this last one, also unnamed, is 3.5 out of 5. I feel like when it comes to Adam Sandler movies, I'm always disagreeing with the Rotten Tomatoes reviews, besides The Week Of, which was truly terrible. I thoroughly enjoyed Mr. Deeds. I thought it was a funny, cute rom-com, although insanely ridiculous at times with far-fetched characters and little to no believability. I was left rooting for Adam and Winona. I enjoyed and would watch again. And there you go.
Right on. So yeah, 5.8, 59 out of audiences, 24 and 22 out of critics. I still like it. I've never liked the love story, and today I found out how that can be fixed, but it doesn't make me want to go and watch the other one on repeat, whereas this one I still would. I still love it. I the Space Oddity sing-along, the, you know, everything John Turturro, all the wacky shit that's going on in this movie, I'm still here for it, so I'm...
Yeah.
This is one of Adam Sandler's better ones. May not be the greatest one, but it's still one of his better ones. And it's too bad the love story falls flat, but I'm still here for it. Colin?
Yeah, this movie has pretty much everything that I've really hated about other movies that we've watched. You know, I do agree with that one reviewer. The character of Deeds is too one-dimensional and really goes through no, like, zero transformation of any kind.
No, that's true,
So you're kind of left with a movie that, without a protagonist in a way, because he literally is just there the whole time waiting for his money and falling in love, but that love doesn't really change him. Like, you can't even say that he learns forgiveness or that hurt, like, really... Like, even if there was some sort of story about how he got burned by somebody before or whatever and was, like, learning to love and, like, put his faith back in and got burned again, like, there's nothing like that. It's just, it's so linear that I understand how people might think it was boring. But, I mean, I don't know. The side performances of some of the supporting cast, like Emilio, Cecil... All the funny people in Mandrake Falls for me is a massive benefit to this movie, and I think I can't really say a bad thing about it. Nostalgia wins for me with this one, and I will never hate Mr. Deeds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, having watched the original, I also feel like the character of Mr. Deeds just doesn't have a lot of growth. Because in that movie, there's not a whole lot. He comes out of his shell a bit more, but that's about it. Like, it's, he goes back home and he's sort of the same guy. That's just who the character is. So if you've got people hating on that, then it's like, well, then you hate the original too. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass now. I totally see what you mean though. Yeah, there isn't much growth to it, and the love story is not necessarily the best one, but hey, it is still Mr. Deeds and I still love it, and like you said, nostalgia wins.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's Mr. Deeds, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, if you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out is, well, subscribe to our show. Yes, we are now talking about subscribing to our shows. Go to whatever app you listen to your podcasts on, give us some stars, and subscribe while you're there, and you know, set for auto download or whatever. You know, just that way you don't miss an episode, or just tell somebody, because word of mouth really helps out a podcast. Or if you want to go above and beyond, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and, you know, donate to us. Give us a couple bucks a month and you become an executive producer, so you get a shout out, just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
Yeah, and don't forget to grab all your friends' phones too and go to their podcast apps and subscribe to our podcast for them.
That's right. That's right.
And then go to our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find the links to all of our podcast episodes and our social media pages. Hit up our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like. And then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. And if you want to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.
Yeah, I watched. Did you watch the Flash trailer?
No, not yet. Not yet. I haven't watched any of them yet.
Man, the Flash one. I watched the Fast 10 one a couple days ago.
Yeah.
That one just like looks like it's.
Yeah, I'm
behind. I mean, it's weird because it looks like in a way they're trying to like honor where it, like the first one, like
the
there's
roots?
seems to be some street racing in it. Yeah. but it also seems weird, like Jason Momoa's character seems like a complete retcon somehow that I struggle to know how they're gonna make sense of it.
Yeah,
but whatever. The Flash trailer, you finally get to see some Michael Keaton action, so that was pretty sweet.
I'll go looking for it as soon as we're done.